There are a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL draft this year. My name is Ben Solak, and I host the Ringer NFL Draft Show with Danny Kelly, Danny Heifetz, and Greg Horlbeck. We cover trades, free agency, and the draft, which is, obviously. We'll tell you about everything, which includes which quarterbacks are good, which quarterbacks are bad, and which quarterbacks are just Kirk Cousins. That is the Ringer NFL Draft Show. Search the Ringer NFL Draft Show on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com. This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Chicago everywhere. Check it.
It's not enough Chicago. We just don't have enough Chicago people. Jason Goff is here.
Well, I'm at Full Go.
The Full Go podcast.
The Full Go.
Bears, Bulls, White Sox, Cubs, and Blackhawks.
Our man, Jason Goff.
3 times a week with Jason Goff.
His mood is elevated. He is feeling good.
Jason, I'm loving the Full Go.
Love the Full Go.
The Full Go.
The Full Go.
Welcome to Full Go with Jason Goff.
That is what I'm talking about. Talking about.
What up, world? You're listening to The Full Go with Jason Goff, presented by The Ringer, a Spotify original. Yeah.
Episode 377 of The Full Go podcast. I am Jason Goff. This thing is presented to you by the fine folks at FanDuel, brought to you by The Ringer, and Spotify remains the gang. If you don't hear the same verve, you know, the same aggression, the same fun, the vibrant nature of my voice the way it usually is, it's because your boy is hurting. And you're saying to yourself, oh, Jay, what was the pod last night? Well, we did it this morning for you because, you know, I ran into some complications in terms of health. You know, at age 43, you can't really eat everything that you would like to eat. And even more so, you can't trust everything that you're going to eat. So I've done a great job over the years of staying away from things. I don't really eat outside food like that, in terms of like out of other people's kitchens, and when people bring things for potluck, or, you know, somebody always want to force some cookies on you at the job and you're like, nah, you know, I really don't rock with you like that. So I definitely probably don't rock with the way you clean your kitchen. Every once in a while, an establishment has that issue, and I think I ran into one of those issues. So I apologize for the pod not dropping last night. I've been trying to get myself back together. And boy, was it quite the night for the pod not to drop. There was a whole bunch of news that occurred on Thursday. So we are here to fulfill our obligations to y'all, because we know you need the Full Go in your life. Tone, Kyle, good to see you guys. You know, the dad, the myth, the legend, and of course, the truth, the exceptional one, the Kyle Williams. The chief vibes officer, Chris Sutton, is not with us. We never got a no out of him, by the way, about if he won the Powerball or not. He joked around with us. He's like, oh, yeah, you know, but we didn't quite get a no. So the fact that he's not here this time around means that he is looking for his exit strategy. He's trying to let us down slowly. You know what we are? We're the girl that keeps calling and like, hey, you want to hang out? Nah, I'm a little busy. My bad. You know, and after a while, I was like, ma'am, I've been busy for 2+ years now. At what point are you going to understand that this ain't, you know, what you think it is? I think that's what Chris is doing with us. I think Chris has moved on. I don't even know if Chris works for Spotify or The Ringer anymore. I just know that he just jumps on a Zoom with us and he's happy to hang out with us because we are the only black faces that he sees since he lives in Oregon. So we appreciate Chris, and hopefully he's spending all of those winnings on something productive. And if not, you know, hopefully he's developing a new drug habit. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I see it. You know, if I win the Powerball, you guys will see me out here for an entire summer wondering. And the answer will be yes to whatever question that you're wondering. Like, what's going on with Jay? Yes, I'm on all of it. I'm having fun with all of it. Yes, all of this is mine. Whatever you see me with. So shout out to our guy, Chris Sutton. Where are we starting with this thing? Because we had some big news yesterday. And I know people, the local yokels, want to hear about Bulls Pistons. I know y'all want to hear about that, right? So we're gonna get to that at some point. But do we start? I know where we should start, huh? I got up, and maybe this is why the pod was delayed. Maybe this is why, because maybe, just maybe, Metro Boomin in Future had in mind that, hey, Goff got to hear this Friday morning before he could record anything. Like, he got to make sure that he gets this in his system. Not only did We Don't Trust You come out and cause all the stir in hip hop, but We Still Don't Trust You dropped late Thursday night, early Friday morning. And boy, it all makes sense now. It all makes sense. And I just need someone from Chicago to jump in this, you know, just get tagged into the Royal Rumble real quick. Like, Kanye tried it, right? Kanye got upset when everybody was talking about Big Three. And Kanye was like, hey, motherfuckers, I'm still alive. Okay, I got the number one album. Y'all can kiss my ass with this whole Big Three. I'm Kanye West still, right? And we still don't know if people want to be represented, you know, by Kanye West in this city. Like, so Kanye West turned like Derrick Rose. Like, you know what I mean? Like, after everybody turned on Derek, it was like the brothers are still holding him down. And everybody else was like, nah, I really don't, you know, I never really could understand what he was saying while he was winning those MVPs. So I'm off that train. Like, Kanye, and rightfully so, Kanye has been kind of, he's been out there for a while, but, you know, he still makes music that people like. But it makes all the sense in the world. We have been treating Drake like he is the Thanos of this situation. Like, he is, you know, the god. And what if the dude who has not cared about what anyone has thought about him for the entirety of his career, whether it be the drug raps, whether it be all the kids, we see Russell Wilson raising his baby right before our eyes, and Future has not had a bad night's sleep since. What if Future is the Thanos to all of this? Because it makes more sense. And for all the people who aren't initiated into what we're talking about here, it's okay. We've listened to y'all talk about Seinfeld and Rush and Journey songs for decades now. This will just be the time where you feel like you're being indoctrinated instead of feeling like you're alienated, okay? But to Oakley Twitter, it's still fuck y'all. So, you know, if y'all having problems trying to digest what we're talking about, then it's on y'all. Go decipher, go to Urban Dictionary, go ask your daughter's boyfriend. He'll help you. But when it comes to this Future thing, like, J. Cole makes the biggest faux pas in rap. And I don't care. Y'all can get deep if you want to. Y'all can have all y'all think pieces, all the smarty arts out there. This is a man understanding his feelings. Yeah, but he threw a punch. He threw a punch and then said, oh, I felt bad about punching you in the face. Will you be my friend again? Hell no, I won't be your goddamn friend again. We come from lunchroom table battling. You hear me? We come from ruining the second half of people's days by going back and forth, whether it was roasting them or getting in on the lyrics. So no, you ain't gonna just change the sport. This ain't college basketball where all of a sudden it's NIL money. Hell no. Yeah, J. Cole just gonna come in here and change beef. Man, do you know where I'm from? I'm from the early 90s, the golden era of hip-hop. I'm sitting here listening to, and I know I sound like an old head, but god damn it, I'm an old head. I was the kid, like I mentioned, that went bought bigger and deafer in 1987 with my own goddamn money because I was an LL Cool J fan and Kumo D was coming at my guy, so I had to hear what he had to say. huh? Walk down to the record store as a 7-year-old and say, here, take my $3.50 and give me that 12-inch vinyl. Pause. Right? So I'm sitting out here like, wait a minute. I know we're about to get into it. I know we're about to scrap. And J. Cole goes on his tour, well, at his festival, I should say, in Dreamville. By the way, I'm a fan of J. Cole's music. I will say this, and I realized it when I looked at, because people say they're fans of things, and then you just, all right, so where are the results? I don't own not one J. Cole album. I have not downloaded J. Cole's music on Apple Music. I like J. Cole when I hear him. Okay, and I know, trust me, I'm Forest Hills Drive. I know all the J. Cole. Look at Kyle. Kyle is about to erupt just now. He's like, you don't own any of Cole's music?
I'm just surprised. Oh, okay. No. I am not a J. Cole guy. Okay. Hold on, let's chill out.
Oh, I think that's
the breaking news.
Yeah, that's the breaking news.
That's because you typecasting, homeboy. That's all it is. You think Kyle, smile, you know, tall to college, not just college, Northwestern. I know what you did, Tony. I know what you did. You're like, oh, Kyle ain't down with the real shit. And then he dropped that big Joker and Amigos picture on your head. Like, God damn it. You know what I'm about. Cue Fight Night up and see Kyle in the strip club and see if ones don't rain down. Okay? But I've admitted to it on this platform. I don't have a lot of J. Cole's music in my, you know, streaming platforms or downloaded to my phone or on vinyl because I buy records every once in a while or on CD. I don't. But I've always appreciated his lyricism. I've always appreciated the, you know, the entity that is J. Cole. But when you go to your festival and all of a sudden start to, hey, y'all, it was sitting heavy on my cool. That's fine. That means you can get out the way. And then we find out Friday morning why that man got out the way. He got out the way because he knew Future and Metro Boomin, who are going at it with the dude who he is calling himself the big three with and Drake and going on a tour with, he knew that, oh, shit, they're about to release this album, and I'm on one of the songs. Now, he's not on any of the songs dissing nobody, but that Red Leather song, come on. If I'm Drake, I'm sitting there like Denzel in Training Day, like, oh, all you bitches. Oh, okay, I'm putting cases on every one of you motherfuckers. That's exactly how Drake should feel today.
He could have pulled the verse. He could have pulled the verse.
No.
He didn't.
Guess why he couldn't? Because Future is the biggest gangster in all of this. Future has been moving like a dude who doesn't care about anything for years now. For years. Future has been rapping about sipping codeine and knocking down starlet after starlet after starlet. You think he gonna care about the little beef that y'all may have that y'all don't even know about? Yeah, all right. And I love it for rap music. Anybody who doesn't love it for rap music, and yeah, you go back to the Biggie and Pac thing. Listen, this ain't Biggie and Pac. These are dudes who are hanging out with the same chicks who are all pillow talking and getting mad because the chicks ain't claiming them. In the end, they're getting played like the Instagram models when you really take a look at it. Like, these girls are sending text messages. All right, you gonna go hang out with Drake later? Okay, I'm gonna hang out with Future. We both gonna get the money out of them. So, ready, break. They all meet at LAX, right? Like, this is what's happening here. And it behooves everyone to understand the person who has nothing to lose always has the drop on everyone. And for everybody in this situation, there is something to lose except for Future. What's Future gonna lose? Atlanta's never gonna stop messing with Future. The South is never gonna stop messing with Future. And Future's records are always gonna ring off in any party, in any portion of this country. Tell me the people who are like, man, I can't stand Future. Right? And it's the people who, oh, get this mumble rap out of here. Guess what, fam? You don't make the girls dance and you don't make the atmospheres that music is played in more fun. Okay, so they gonna always listen to those people that do that. Do you make the girls dance? And is the atmosphere more fun when your song comes on? And Future is sitting there with the Infinity Stones like, hey, by the way, I'm on your head again. We still don't trust you because you've been running around doing a whole bunch of fuck shit. And now we got your man on a song with us. Like, Rick Ross is playing the We Don't Trust You album. LeBron is out here mouthing the words to Like That the day it comes out, which is
blows my mind, by the way. How many times do you have to listen to a song in a day to get the words down so much so that you're performing it while at shoot around before an LA Lakers game? Okay? You got Kendrick Lamar on your head, which is going to make this all the more fun for me, because when Drake comes out, like, I've talked about how petty isn't something that men should be proud of. And if over this last 5 or 6 years, all of a sudden, you know, I'm the petty king. And I'm like, that's not a character trait that you think is as fly as it really is, right? Oh, but you just wait. You just wait. Drake is gonna have something for everybody. And Cole about to catch it. Cole about to get slapped by his enemy and his friend all in the same week. Like, I love it. I love it. And it's all because y'all went against the rules of the game. We all been there before at after school, when you know the whole day people been talking about this fight. The whole day. And you know one dude is running around like, oh man, hopefully my mama come pick me up early. Or, you know, maybe I can get him in trouble before. Or maybe I can just notify a teacher. And then you got the other dude. He out here skipping classes. He out here, you know, he out here outside your science door like, I'm beating your ass after school. Just let you know. All right. I don't want to get in trouble with the hall monitor, but I'm whooping your ass as soon as school is over. Like, he threatening the kid, right? That's all that's happening right now. Until that kid rises up. Until that kid finds himself in the after school play yard and he gives the bully a 1-2, and then it all goes to sleep. The problem is, I don't know who the bully is. Future sometimes seems like the bully in this. Metro Boomin just seems like his boy on the side. Like, yeah, kick him more. Whoop him more. You know what I'm saying? Like the kid from Christmas Story. Like, oh, come on. He chasing Ralphie home. That's what Metro Boomin seemed. Metro Boomin and Future seem like the dudes from Christmas Story chasing Ralphie and his little brother home. And Kendrick just out here like, I wasn't bothering anybody, but I'm mad that y'all didn't mention me as being one of the greatest. So I got bars for you. I'm the only animal out here. It is a weird and fun time in hip hop. I'm just hoping that nobody, you know, nobody gets in trouble. Nobody gets hurt. Nobody's entourage. Because, you know, we got to say this shit because, you know, people will wild out. And then all of a sudden, it's Jason's promoting violence in the black community. Nah, I'm just promoting creativity and art in the black community. And also, jobs going, you know, this going to build employment. You kidding me? You got to hire everybody. They're not getting this information from publicists. They're getting this information from people sending pictures and screenshots and DMs. This is as nasty and as dirty, as clean, I should say, as well, as you want hip hop beef to get. But man, them dudes dropped an album Friday morning, the week after they dropped the last diss album. And it sounds pretty good. I've gotten through the first few songs. Is that The Weeknd on the end of the first song, by the way? Oh, yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah. Yep. Drake got to snuff everybody.
He got problems with Drake, too.
Drake got to snuff everybody. Drake has no friends.
If we keep in count, that's Future, Metro, Travis,
Rick.
He's got to go at Cole now since Cole's on the album.
Rick Ross.
A$AP Rocky.
Rick Ross. A$AP Rocky
is just, he out here wilding. You know, you saying stuff like, hey, man, we not, you know, put your boss on the phone. Like, we not, yeah, come on, fam. I mean, like, no disrespect, but, you know, all respect. But, like, come on, fam. Like, we weren't even thinking that you was going to rap. Like, we just saw you in a Welcome Back Carter suit with big jeans and Timberlands and a bow tie on and saying it's fashion. Like, you command that lane. You feel me? Like, you know, you the Steadman of rap now. Just, you know, keep your lady happy, raise your beautiful family. We really don't, you know, because it's always somebody, you know, Zaza Pachulia injured Kawhi Leonard. You know what I mean? Like, it's always somebody who's like, ah, damn. I was hoping I'd see the full series, and all of a sudden this guy's out here with this foolishness. But yeah, ASAP is in there now. Rick Ross is in there. You gotta go with Bron. You know, you got, hey, anybody can get it. That's what I want to see. That's what I'm here for. That's why we listen to these blogs and vlogs and music podcasts. We grew up.
I don't know. I was here for this specifically though. Like, I was cool when it was just the triangle. They jumping us. Like, this is weird, bro. This is weird.
Some niggas deserve to get jumped. I'm tired of that, Tony. Tony's from Inglewood. Tony is from Inglewood. What are we talking about? What world are we living in when a dude from Inglewood wants to see peace? Huh?
Huh? I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
The Blue Lives Matter people done got to Tony and then changed him. He got a little money in his pocket. He got a family now. All of a sudden, he want to see rappers play nice. Get your ass up out of here, Tony. Respectfully.
You think it's weird? They all
Tony, I just told you what wasn't weird. Hey, the real deal, after I'm done messing with you, the real deal, though, he did something. Or he's been doing something. Like, yeah. people don't just do this. You feel me? Like, we all seen when one person was like, it did something, and then you realize, oh, four people are like, and another thing, you bitch, you know what I mean? Like, this is happening right now where, you know, people are finding out, oh, wait a minute. He sent your sister a DM too? Like, oh, wait a minute. He cash-apped your baby mama out the blue and left a smiley face just to mess with me? And he did that to you too? Come on. Come on, man. Drake is an actor. He is an artist. He is a billionaire. He is in high-level meetings. He damn near owns half of the publishing for all these artists that y'all see him with. You mean to tell me all those riches haven't been amassed by doing someone dirty? And now it's time to pay the piper. The problem is, it's about 15 pipers. That's the problem. And it looks like somebody's getting jumped. If I ever see somebody getting jumped, Tony, like I used to be the, oh, we should go help him. And then I've seen one too many people who have tried to break up a fight get punched in the face. And I'm like, yeah, that's, you know, now we both got to fight this person. Now it looks like we jumping him, right? And then I've grown older and more mature to realize, yep, that motherfucker did something. You know, it's like we've seen it where, you know, it's a 2-on-1 in a park or something like that. And you're like, oh, I hope he make it out of there. And I hope he discontinues whatever behavior that landed him in this moment. And I think that is what's happening with the whole Drake, Kendrick, J. Cole, Future, Metro, Rick Ross thing. Like, somebody did something. And when you don't know that people are doing, like, J. Cole seems like the dude who's like, oh, man, I'm just rolling with Aubrey. He's cool. This was a fun tour. And then you find out who you've been standing next to, and you're like, oh, let me go apologize to the killer in Compton who was out here roaming the streets like Omar and putting out diss tracks that turned number one on Billboard. That's been the number one song in the country for 2 weeks now. It's him and Metro and Future dissing Drake and J. Cole. It's been the number one song in the country. So, you know, I'm glad that this thing, and I hope this thing will stay within the parameters of rap beef, but Big Guns is coming out, figuratively. Big Guns is coming out. You know, people's baby moms is about to be entered into this. Like, this is going to get nasty on wax, and I hope it stays there. But, man. You know, as long as y'all don't say Lupe's name, as long as y'all don't say Kanye's name, because, you know, you say Kanye's name. Kanye got dirt on everybody. That's the only reason Kanye's still able to walk around the way he is. Because when he went on Drink Champs and called Puffy the feds and all these other things and asked Jay-Z not to kill him, public, like, yeah, it's the louder you are when you're that person, you know, that's keeping you safe. And Kanye West understands that. And also, Kanye has some things up his sleeve that I know a lot of these rappers probably don't want to, you know, have divulged. So as long as it stays on wax, as long as it stays on the music side, and I'm good. But I'm not mad at it. Go ahead and bring me some good music for the summer. Feel like everybody didn't took off the last 2-3 years when it come to rap. I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it. As long as you keep Chicago dudes out your mouth.
We'll be back with more of The Full Goal with Jason Goff after a word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Get in on all the NBA buzzer beaters and ankle breakers and tomahawk jams with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. And if you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, there's no better time to get in on the action. Bulls playing the Wizards Friday night. And of course, no one knows if Billy Donovan is going to rest all of his very worthwhile Chicago Bulls. They've earned it, right? Almost got 40 wins this season. So we're going to go same game parlay style, Jordan Poole over 23.5 points, because we know that he is the only person that is going to be firing it up like it is the first game of the season. And also, I'm going to go with the Bulls plus 1.5. Huh? The Bulls are underdogs in this game. I'm going to go with the Bulls. Maybe you'll get yourself a Javonte Green big game, or you'll get yourself a, you know, a Domo Sinogo double-double that you've been waiting on out there, all you UConn fans. But I got the Bulls plus 1.5, and then I got the over in this one. Neither one of these teams feel like they should play any defense the last couple of games of the season, and why would you ask them to? Over 223 points. So once again, same game parlay, Bulls versus Wizards, Friday night basketball, Jordan Poole over 23.5, Bulls plus 1.5 on the spread, and I got the over for the total points, 223. You already know the app is so easy to use, and there are so many different ways to bet, like the live same game parlays. You can find bets in the new Explore tab, or you can make a parlay in the Parlay Hub, the best way to find the popular parlays, and so much more, like the SGP, the classic SGP that I just gave you. So visit FanDuel.com/FullGo. That's FanDuel.com/FullGo, and make your first bet a layup. FanDuel, official partner of the NBA. 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com.
Bulls talk with Jason Goff on the Full Go.
Flies in with a two-handed slam dunk.
Brought to you by The Ringer, a Spotify original.
All right, so the Bulls are now guaranteed to be hosting the Atlanta Hawks either next Tuesday or Wednesday, depending on the availability for Wells Fargo Arena, as the Flyers and the Philadelphia 76ers are kind of mixed up in the scheduling of the play-in situation for the Bulls and the Hawks. So either it'll be on Tuesday or on Wednesday, but we know now that the Bulls will be hosting the Atlanta Hawks in the play-in first round, I guess. I don't even know if you call it rounds or whatever. It's all convoluted. I know why the play-in situation was brought about, is to have some more intrigue, you know, for teams who are right on the cusp of making it, to prevent teams from trying to tank, because we've seen over the years where teams are in that seventh or eighth seed and like, hey, we ain't going. Hell, we saw it with Dallas a couple of years ago. Well, we ain't going nowhere. Let's go ahead and sit everybody, try to get ourselves a higher lottery pick. And I understand why Adam Silver had to do what he had to do, and I know it's not for me. I do yearn for a time where top eight teams in each conference go ahead and figure this thing on out. But, you know, he's taking a page from the NCAA book, you know, the March Madness vibe, the feel to it. We saw it with the in-season tournament. We're seeing it with the play-in tournament. The Bulls are going to host the Atlanta Hawks. And I'm kind of, you know, blah about it. And I know that's not a good place for a person with sports opinions to be. On one hand, I do appreciate that this team has a certain won't stay on the mat stick-to-itiveness about them. Like they are resilient, you know, to act as if Zach LaVine's injury hasn't obviously changed the dynamic and the makeup of this team would be foolhardy. Like Zach LaVine is a valuable enough player, but at the same time, this just can't be the way of life. You know, this understand that you're going to play around 500 basketball. Everybody's got injuries. Hell, the Philadelphia 76ers lost the MVP for a good 2 months when he fought his way back, and he's trying to get himself back into game shape for not only the play-in situation, but for the ensuing rounds, which, man, if you mess around and get like Milwaukee and Philadelphia in the first round or Boston and Philadelphia in the first round, that'd be crazy, right? But I will never get used to thinking that average basketball is okay. You know, average football all my life, average baseball most of my life, especially, you know, if you're talking about the north side of things, because, you know, Dusty Baker wasn't that long ago, right? There's a long that Dusty Baker brought the Cubs their first back-to-back winning seasons. That's not that long ago, for as long as the Cubs been playing baseball. And of course, with the Sox, you know, the 90s, winningest team in the 90s in the American League, and all the things I got a chance to grow up seeing, but they didn't win it all, right? And then when they finally won it all, it was, you know, it was the shot heard around the South Side and the South Side only, pretty much. Like, the city treated it the way that we thought they would treat it, and the nation treated it the way that we thought they would treat it. When it comes to the Bulls, this sixth band is hanging up there that I got a chance to experience. And I know maybe that, you know, my fan base isn't the one, or my age group isn't the one that they are not interested in, but they've got us. So now it's time to bring in the 25-year-olds and below, the people who are getting ready to have families, the people who are getting ready to spend money on this product. And I got to believe that, bottom line for business, this can't be the look that you've wanted the last 3 years. So what's going to change? You know, we're getting ready for this playing game, and I think they're going to beat the Hawks. I do. Now, Ayo Dosunmu's availability with that deep thigh contusion, and also Andre Drummond's availability with that ankle. I mean, he's wheeling around here in one of them, you know, the rascals that you see at Mariano's. Yeah, that ain't good. That's not good at all. So the Washington Wizards game and the Knicks game, we'll see what Billy Donovan has in terms of minute deployment, because you do want to keep guys fresh, but you do have to get some of these dudes on the bench, not only to preserve themselves from further injury, but also to take care of the bumps and bruises that you already have. Like, this team has been redlining it all year long. We're watching DeMar DeRozan play 40 minutes in a game against the Pistons that they needed. Like, it shouldn't, this life is not sustainable, you know? And hell, just as a person, like, I know when certain behaviors aren't sustainable. It's just, when will I crash out? Or will I change it so that we don't have to have these stresses and life could be a lot easier on me, right? And these are things that I navigate as a person, as a man, as a father, as a brother, as a son. Now, just imagine that being a hundredfold with an organization where you've got so many people in so many departments and so many specialties that are put in place specifically for this to be a championship outfit at some point. And what I would ask is, how has the last 3 years gone in terms of a progress report for the people who have been put in place? You've already got people sniffing around Billy Donovan. You know, the Kentucky job, I don't think is going to be the first or the last that will be asked of him in terms of, hey, how much you like it up there? How you feeling? You want to come win national championships? Because let's face it, dudes in these positions, I don't care how nice you think people are, when you reach this level of your industry, this level of your profession, there is ego involved, and earned ego, rightfully so. That's the thing too. Like, we don't mention earned ego enough. Like, either pride or ego is brought up, but what about earned ego? What about the guys in this business who have said, hey, I've earned the right to feel this way about myself? This is a two-time national champion. Two-time, back-to-back, the last team to do it back-to-back before UConn and Dan Hurley did it this year. So he still got those bona fides. And on top of it, that's a rainmaker job that came and asked him, hey, can you come handle this for us? Now, Mark Pope will be the guy going forward. And does Mark Pope have enough of the sizzle, as Kendall Gill would put it, to attract not only the recruits, but to make sure that the alumni, to make sure that the boosters and everybody with the NIL packages are sufficiently compensated in terms of personality, in terms of flair, in terms of swag? And I mean, John Calipari was the boss. He showed up in Kentucky and a whole bunch of players went to the NBA, but he kept getting those guys. It kept giving them more opportunities to sniff a national championship. Now, he won one in those 17 years there, which you might say to yourself, hey, is that enough? But there's not a lot of guys running around with a couple of those joints. Jay Wright is sitting on somebody's, you know, analyst desk, right? Billy Donovan is up top in the NBA doing what he's doing. Dan Hurley, You know, he just did it, and now he could write his own ticket. So if I'm the Bulls, I understand that this is now on the radar, something that I have to deal with. And Billy Donovan being wooed or being just the inference that Kentucky would want to talk to you, that puts different pressures on your employer. That puts different pressures on the people around you, the guys that you are working side by side with and in conjunction with, I should say, and Arturis Karnišovas and Mark Eversley. Like, yo, I'm wanted. And it's good to be wanted. You know, you don't get leverage many times in your professional life. And I say this to people all the time who ever ask me for advice. Whenever you have the leverage, use it, because companies will use it against you. So whenever you have leverage, use it to your discretion, use it to your benefit. But Billy Donovan's got a certain amount of leverage. You may think, how, Jason? He's coached a team now to, what, 46 wins, 42 wins, and what may look like, what, 39, 40, 41 wins? With 40 wins, I think, is the cap with this team that you can win this year. So how does he have the leverage? Well, I've been coaching an injury-plagued team with mismatched pieces. And this team, who just offered $100 million, reportedly, rumored-wise, to Dan Hurley, offered me something, you know, similar or a little bit less, whatever the case may be. But I could always go back there. He just signed an extension, I believe, the year before last. And he is making somewhere around $4.5-5 million, depending on who you believe. Hell, if $10 million, $8 million is out there for me, why wouldn't I? And the why wouldn't I part is very interesting to me, because that college landscape is a lot different than it used to be when Billy Donovan was on that level. Right now, you're dealing with professional attitudes and professional logistics in college basketball, but you're also having to deal with 17, 18, 19-year-olds and their parents and the girlfriend and the AAU coach and the high school coach and this person and this sneaker company. So is it worth it for you to drop down and say, all right, I am also going to a basketball crazy state like Kentucky, where that is the professional team? Okay, shout out to the football squad and what they do and the come up that Kentucky football has been over the last 8-9 years. Like, they're a respectable team in the SEC now, but Kentucky basketball is a different animal. Like, this is blue blood territory. This is Duke. This is Kansas. This is UCLA. This is Indiana. This is UConn. You know, this is Kentucky. So Billy Donovan's got the best hand right now. Do you want this to happen again? Do you want this to pop up in the middle of a season where things might be tumultuous and you might have a player who's upset about getting benched, 3 years ago now, right? Like, do you really want to deal with that? Does your wife and family enjoy living in Chicago enough for you to have to put up with whatever you're putting up with? So it'll definitely be a story that we should keep an eye on. And it's not just over because Mark Pope said yes to Kentucky, but the other schools now that might look and say, hey, man, wait a minute, hold on. If I'm Arizona, hey, man, we keep bumping our heads. We get Final Four talent and keep bumping our heads and not making Sweet 16s. Hey, come on out to Tucson real quick. Weather's beautiful. Your family will love it out here. Go ahead and throw your son on the bench since he wants to be a coach, right? Like, these are the things that the Bulls and Jerry and Mark and Michael Reinsdorf are going to have to go over, because they have a coach. And also, Billy Donovan knows that the Bulls don't move on from coaches like that, right? They didn't want to fire Fred Hoiberg when they did, because they don't want to have to pay two coaches at the same time. This is the other factor. You've employed coaches who nobody has wanted the last few years, the last few go-rounds, I should say. This ain't Jim Boylan, and God bless Fred, because, Fred Hoiberg, I always had terrific interactions with him. I remember one time his wife ran up on me at a remote and was like, you talking bad about my husband. We not on some crazy stuff, but, we laughed about it, right? Shared a shot up there on the rooftop at London House, right? And I got back to my job, right? But, like, this is not Fred Hoiberg, right? But Fred Hoiberg still went to Nebraska. And what, he got college coach of the year. He got Big Ten co-coach of the year this year with Matt Painter at Nebraska. So you've had coaches previously who other teams have not really been clamoring for. You got a guy now in Billy Donovan who, that's a new door that has been opened that, one, frankly, we weren't thinking about. We weren't thinking about Billy Donovan moving around to a college job. I remember when Orlando was kicking the tires on Billy Donovan when he was still at Florida. So this is a guy who's sought after. No matter how you may feel about him as a Bulls fan, he's a player's coach. He still has that recruiter in him because you can hear him talk. And you hear him talk about the game the way that he does. And you hear him take care of his players when it's evident that any other coach would be going in on a player. So he's still got those mannerisms. He's still himself authentically, and it doesn't hurt when somebody else wants you. So, you know, the Bulls should be very aware of what's moving around this franchise right now. This is not the level of basketball that anybody outside of the organization maybe signed up for in terms of fan bases, in terms of being made fun of with lack of relevancy on the national stage. You know, Zach LaVine being a max player now, Kobe White ascending, DeMar DeRozan and the decision that you have to make about his pending free agency. There's a lot at stake here. There's a lot at play here. It seems like a house of cards. And you know, on the very zoomed in level, when we talk about a house of cards, Lonzo Ball, first card to go, right? Zach LaVine and his injury situation with that knee, another card, right? I mean, Kobe White has kind of been a pillar because he had to be. DeMar DeRozan has been a pillar because that's who he is. But in the end, you're talking about two play-in appearances and a first-round exit in the last 3 years. That just won't cut it. Or I should say, it shouldn't cut it. It shouldn't cut it.
It's the full go, baby!
So, Tony, I keep forgetting because you act like an old man all the goddamn time. But how old are you again? 31?
I am 31, sir.
31. 31 years old. Kyle, you're still 24 or are you 25 yet? 24?
24.
Okay. So I will tell you where I was when the OJ verdict came down. And I've seen a lot of people your guys' age who have called people my age liars for actually saying this. I was at school. Like, they wheeled a fat back television into the, by the way, there's a time, kids, where TVs weren't flat, right? So we used to call them fat backs, all right? Now, you know, TVs with a BBL, if you want to put it that way. Nowadays, they've got these, you know, these European models, these these rice eating and ice chip eating TVs, you know, these TVs that are trying to look out for their weight, right? They wheeled a television into the class and said, all right, we're going to watch the OJ verdict. Now, fast forward, I realized how damaging that probably was for the children in my class. I believe I was in what, seventh grade, eighth grade, something like that. But it was one of those moments where, you realize the racial reckoning that this country hadn't come to at such a young age. Now, for me, I was the kid who was always doing book reports on things that maybe were above my intellect level or things that I was curious about. Like, I had teachers who were very understanding that I wanted to learn about things not only in the textbooks, but also outside of them. So when we would have book reports due on certain figures and they give you a list, like I remember doing I had a 5-page report that I had to do. I'll never forget. I had a 5-page report I had to do, and I ended up doing a 12-page report on the Harlem Renaissance. And I gave it to my teacher as such, like, hey, I understand that I have gone outside of the purview of the list of topics, but I also want to show you how interested I am in this, that I'll do double the work. So I learned about guys like Marcus Garvey, and, you know, I was really interested in Thurgood Marshall, you know, first Black Supreme Court justice. Like, I was really interested in these type of things. So by the time the OJ verdict and, you know, the LA riots had already happened, like, I was being birthed into, like, the consciousness of the differences, the distinct differences, and why people kind of moved around each other the way they did with such animus at times. And, you know, probably exposing myself to things that were outside of textbooks and outside of what we were being taught in school, because I knew that this was a world that was going on outside of this as well. So when the OJ verdict happened, it was shocking. It was jaw dropping for everyone involved. And in that moment, I saw teachers who had never been put in the space of having to tell you how they felt about life in real life outside of what they were teaching you in Spanish or math or social studies or English. You saw the reactions. And I saw the reactions of many of my Black teachers, and I saw many of the reactions of my white teachers. And in that moment, I realized that we were never going to be having the same conversations again. And those conversations probably weren't happening before I realized that as well, and definitely weren't happening before I realized it, because we had reached that point. But for me as a child, for me as a kid, I was like, oh, this is what's happening. Now, before the verdict and all that, like, you have to realize where we were in terms of the Al Cowlings OJ Bronco chase, the low speed chase. Man, that's happening in the middle of Patrick Ewing and Hakeem Olajuwon going at it in the NBA Finals, right? That's going on while I'm watching the NBA that I was getting ready to get used to, because Michael Jordan had retired. So it was like, oh, there's a gap here. Like, what's next? And I'm watching Olajuwon and the Knicks go at it. I'm watching Vernon Maxwell and John Starks go at it. And then you see AC and OJ on the freeway in a white Bronco in the most famous televised chase of all time, right? And there's so many things that come from, you know, OJ dying that get stirred up again. Like, OJ dying after a battle with cancer at the age of 76 is not how anybody 30 years ago, 25 years ago, would have thought this thing was going to go. And the whole guilty or not guilty thing, like, do I believe OJ was guilty? I do. Do I believe OJ did those things by himself? I question it at times. Do I believe OJ definitely had something to do with those two people being murdered? Yes, I do. Right. And it was never for me or for anyone around me a white versus Black thing or a Black versus white thing. It was always the bigger scope and the bigger specter of, for centuries to that point, decades, whatever you want to call it, Black folks had always seemed like they were getting the short end of the legal stick. And in that moment, when the verdict came down, I think the rejoicing that you saw, of course, there's people on the fringe, and not even on the fringe, there's people who, you know, overtly was like, I'm rooting for the brother, and no matter what. And then we, you know, and I would implore everybody to go back and watch the what I think is one of the top four or five documentaries I've ever watched, the 30 for 30 that was done. I believe it was four parts. Great, great filmmaking, great documenting of the actual events, the footage, the court case, the opening scene, or one of the opening scenes, I think, to part three, where you actually are getting into the nitty gritty of what may have happened that night, and the sound effects of a cage slamming, and the gate slamming, I should say, and the member of the defense team, or I'm sorry, the member of the prosecution team, saying that it was essentially a killing cage, like three people locked in a confined space, and the carnage that ensued. It's some of the more intense storytelling that I've ever witnessed or been exposed to in my life. And I watch that documentary every once in a while, probably once a year, because of how captivating that not only the piece was, but that time was. And going back on it, you know, yeah. And I'm sorry if I'm rambling all over the place, but my thoughts are kind of all over the place with this, because for a large portion and, well, for a lot of my career, I felt like I was like one of the Black friends to a lot of white folks who didn't really have to concern themselves with issues that Black men and women face. You know, being in sports radio for 16 years, you run into a lot of people who don't have a lot of Black voices or Black points of view in their life. And when they are confronted with some of the things, you know, that's outside of just fun and games or, you know, jokes or your favorite comedian, your favorite rap artist, your favorite athlete, and you start to kind of put that mirror up to, hey, this is what we see, then it can either become very uncomfortable, as it did, you know, and for me in 2016, or it can be eye-opening, as it also was for me in 2016 when the Colin Kaepernick thing was happening. And, you know, so many, I still have direct messages and Facebook messages from scores of white men my age who were like, I didn't know, or I didn't know this. I mean, the George Floyd moment that we had not too long ago, where you had so many folks who weren't Black, right? Not just minorities, but weren't Black, who were like, damn, this is a thing. And then you have the people who, this doesn't happen at the rate you think it does. This is malarkey. This is bullshit. Why are you talking bad about my country? Well, before your internet was going crazy, before your social media platforms were going crazy, before the music was charged with certain things that you don't like, before your Super Bowl halftime shows were taken over with imageries of Blackness that made you uncomfortable, that was the reckoning moment. That was the point. That was the silo of, okay, we're going to have to talk about this and deal with this as a country.
I tell you, I can't help but get back to golf.
The stuff that it brought out again on Twitter, on Instagram, on all the social media platforms, you know, and some of it was hilarious. I'm not going to lie. Some of it, there are funny people everywhere, and some people can make things that are very tragic funny. And they always say, what, tragedy plus time equals comedy. Man, the meme that I saw of the unseasoned food on the grill, like just raw bear chicken and a steak with no salt and pepper on it, and saying white people are gonna put something on the grill today in celebration of OJ's death. I died laughing. I showed it to my lady. I'm like, this shit's hilarious, right? Because in that fun, there's still that pain there, right? That's why, that's what the jokes are for, right? You see big people go up on stage and make fun of themselves. Well, guess what? When they were 15, 14, 12 years old and they were big, they didn't feel this funny. They didn't feel like this was a moment to celebrate, but this is how they cope with it. And in that moment, you saw a whole bunch of feelings spilling out once again. You saw Caitlyn Jenner and she posted good riddance. You seen people say things that they haven't said for 15, 20 years, just to let you know that there, you know, if you didn't know, by the way, whether, you know, elections and all the other things that we've had to witness over the last, I don't know, you know, decade or so, that underlying feeling of misunderstanding, mistrust, distrust, loyalty to what is right, law and order, all those things, there's still hot button issues for us as people. And it's now making its way through a sports star. I got introduced to OJ Simpson as a kid because there was an OJ Simpson poster rolled up in my uncle's closet. My uncles played football. All three of them were running backs, right? The other two weren't into sports. All three of them are running backs. I got introduced to O.J. Simpson as a San Francisco 49er. There was an O.J. Simpson San Francisco 49er poster in my uncle's closet. And I was like, who is this dude with the fro, the bad knees, you know, sitting here? And he told me this is one of the coldest motherfuckers to ever do it. The coldest. First dude to get 2,000 yards. Told me about the electric company, the name of his offensive line. They kept the juice going. You get the joke. Like, it meant something. O.J. Simpson was a figure. The reason why Michael Jordan has ads today, the reason why Anthony Edwards has a whole campaign behind him now of just him being himself, and Adidas is launching that and doing a great job with it. The reason why you can see Tiger Woods have his own line of clothes. They made a department in Nike because Tiger Woods was an athlete that they could put their money behind and trust. OJ Simpson was running through airports with a Hertz commercial and was one of the first, if not the first, African-American that was accepted as a vehicle for commerce. In a time where it was like, can y'all do this? are white folks and other people who aren't Black going to buy these products? And he sold himself as somebody who wasn't Black. He sold himself as, hey, I'm not Black, I'm OJ. Direct quote. Direct quote. And then Jay-Z uses it in the 444 album in a video that I still think doesn't get enough credit, the story of OJ, right? So when we fast forward to the verdict and you see black people rejoicing and celebrating, one, black people were rooting for Johnny Cochran that I know. They were rooting for Johnny Cochran. They were also rooting for a system that seemingly had persecuted and jailed and threatened and sometimes unfortunately so or wrongfully so destroyed black men and the black race as a whole for a very long time, a system that finally, because a racist white cop messed around with an investigation to something that should have been an open and shut case, finally, the legality and the law worked inside of a black person. But this wasn't the black man that everybody was, you know, you always say the right message, wrong messenger. Remember when Colin Kaepernick wore the pig socks and all that other stuff? And people were like, how can this guy, how can you say that anything about the flag when you're wearing pig socks? Yeah, guess what? Messengers have flaws. There is no perfect messenger. There are going to be holes in people's characters that you can find easily, but how do you feel about the message? And that's all I was saying in 2016. Remove Colin Kaepernick. How do you feel about the message? This OJ thing is no different from me and my purview. Whereas, yeah, I think OJ killed those people. I think OJ should have been in jail, right? When you kill people, you should go to jail, right? He got off because racism, racist cops, and a guy who even said, and Mark Furman said, hey, I plead the fifth in terms of did I tamper with any of this evidence? It's on record. It's on record. And then they jump into his life and made it about him. But a legal team saw an exploitable window, an exploitable area, and they did so. They did their jobs and got that guy off. But nobody was out here rooting for the man who once said, I'm not black, I'm OJ. You talk to old heads about their experience and understanding who OJ was at the time when he needed to be somebody else. And when I say needed to be, when Jim Brown and all these other dudes who also has had his flawed past, right? In the way that he's, you know, and you know he's dead now, but you know, in the way that he dealt with women and the run-ins that he had and domestic abuse, message versus messenger. So to see all of this come out on the you know news that OJ had passed away, it was so interesting again, and I relived a portion of my childhood that I, you know, hadn't forgotten about because I don't think anybody who was alive at that time or you know conscious of what was going on at that time would ever forget about it. But a whole bunch of old wounds kind of got opened up again, and you found out, and you're still finding out how unhealed we still all are. It was the first reality television, the first of it, before The Real World, before The Housewives, before anything that you see. Hey, shout out to Married at First Sight, you know, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Central on Lifetime, if you haven't been checking it out. But before all these things, the OJ chase, the OJ trial, and the OJ verdict were those things. So I hope there is some clarity for the uninitiated. And also, I hope there's room to have these discussions about the plight of everyone in this country, right? And how people feel when we get thrown into these trick bags of black and white. No, there's a lot of gray area. And this is one of those situations that had a whole bunch of gray area. Whole bunch of great. Yeah, the incident and the intended and what should have been the outcome might be black and white for you, but from the moment that thing started to the moment he died, there's been so much gray area involved. And you know, I don't find it tasteful to celebrate when people die, no matter who they are, because it doesn't really do anything for my spirit. You know, I got too much weighing on my head to be celebrating anybody's death. And also for the people who are celebrating the death of OJ, knock yourself out. But I don't think the Goldman family nor the Brown family get any solace in it. Like, that's who I was thinking about yesterday, to be honest with you. I was thinking about how Ron Goldman's dad, every time I saw him, you could still see, and obviously, you know, your child being murdered and taken away. You having to bury your child is something that every parent fears, right? You got to protect your heart outside of your body. That's exactly what your child is. And to see that he and that family and the Brown family have to live through those moments, not like they're not living through them every single day, but with the amplification of the death of the person who murdered their kids, like you celebrating it on a radio show, you know, it ain't as fire as you think it is. you bringing it up with whatever, you know, irreverent comment that you hope will get you in a high traffic area and get you engagement, it ain't as fly as you think it is. Now, if you want to do it, hey, that's your bag. Knock yourself out. But if you're truly thinking about the people that are surrounding the situation, then, you know, there is no celebration here, right? And I even said it when I saw the uncooked, unseasoned meat on the grill in terms of white folks going to throw something on the grill and celebrate now that OJ gone. Hey, I said this app is a necessary evil because you can take from that whatever you want, but this is going to happen apparently. So OJ passing away does me no good. It does me no bad. There are still two people whose lives were cut short. And it kind of put a magnifying glass on how we aren't interacting and still don't interact with each other the way we should, so that we can, you know, I don't know, just have more human moments with each other, right? Like, black folks wasn't rooting for no goddamn OJ. They were rooting for the symbolism of the American justice system and what it had done to so many people who had looked like us finally winning. And it's complicated. It's not simple. It's not. And if you don't understand, I get it. I get it. But what I won't have happen is some kind of narrative be written so that you can kind of defame and demonize an entire group of people who just wanted a fair shake. And still, to this day, just want a fair shake. That's all. That's all. And the dude that got an unfair shake is a dude who didn't want anything to do with us until he got in trouble. So you take that for what you will. I hope that I've been clear, and I know I haven't been concise because that ain't my bag, but I hope I've been clear on a time that, you know, has spanned a lot of my adulthood. Like, OJ had been running around in Miami and, you know, on Mason and Cam's show, and like, OJ has not laid low, right? So whatever you were hoping for OJ, whatever kind of death you were hoping for, I hope you got something out of it. Now that that is no longer, like, what are you doing now that you don't have that as a tent pole for your vitriol? Like, what are you going to do now to make things better? That's all I'll ask.
It's Chicago in the house. Let me hear you say yeah. Yo, you listening to the Fool Goal podcast with my man Jason Goff. It's your boy Dave Jeff. Holla at y'all. Much love.
That's all the time we have for episode 377 of the Fool Goal podcast. Want to thank my production staff, my peeps, my guys, the shadowy figure that is known as Steve Cerruti, the truth, the exceptional one, the Kyle Williams, the dad, the myth, the legend, Tony Gill, and the latest Powerball winner, Chris Sutton. He is our chief vibes officer for the time being, but his vibes may be too expensive for ours now, so we might have to re-up. He's the Billy Donovan of the show, you know what I mean? So money wanted him, so he went where the money went. But thank y'all for listening. We appreciate you so much. Thanks for letting me get my little, you know, music takes off. Thanks for listening to the Bulls segment, you know, because I know how arduous that could be at times. And also, you know, the OJ thing. I don't know what the OJ thing meant or will mean to anybody out there that's listening, but I hope it gives a little bit of the insight on how I view it. And that, in the end, that's, you know, that's what this thing is, right? I get a chance to give you some things that maybe I haven't given you before on other platforms. So thank you to the production staff. Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate y'all being with me through a little, you know, not feeling well last night. This was cool though. A little daytime podding with the folks. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying the vibes. And we got Bulls Wizards here on Friday night. And then Bulls Knicks on Sunday. Then a play-in game next week. So, you know, competitive basketball, here we come. But thanks for downloading this thing. Thanks for following us on the socials. Appreciate you for sharing this with your family and friends. Thank you so much for pressing that follow and subscribe button wherever you're getting this pod. Thank you for rating and reviewing it, giving it the 5 stars you know it needs. If not, we will see you in the streets. And I mean it, because we are outside now. It is nice outside. People are walking their dogs late at night. You know, my white brethren out here with the open-toed sandals, letting them feet fly. Hey, toes out, hoes out. I see y'all. Huh? I see you. You know what I mean? The backwards visor's getting ready to come out. I know what time it is. I'm going to take a spin through Wrigleyville, see what the newest fashion is, so I can take it back to the piece. But once again, thank you so much for hanging with us. We will catch you on Sunday. But until then, we leave you with this. As always, take care of each other, be safe, and remember to stay sucker free.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, Virginia, and Vermont. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona. 1-888-789-7777. Or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPENY in New York.